between the life we see and the world we dream, there are stories when they are told. Nightmares become imagination. So please.
Thomas, you aren't.
Hello to the guild. I hope you are having a more positive connection with your family than these folks. Welcome to the Dim Light Anxiety Podcast. I am your host, Giggles, and I realized last week that I didn't let you guys know how the new job went. Oh my gosh, shame on me. It's going really well. Really, really well so far, actually. It's challenging for sure, but I'm not sure why I didn't do this earlier. I feel like I already belong, and I have been there for years, even though it's, you know, only been a little bit. So yeah, for now, I am happy. At least until the next zombie apocalypse, then I can help society grow with my many talents. If I survive, which I probably won't. I wanted to do something special this week. I did this once before and had a good response to it. I wanted to highlight some of the positive things the writers have said about hearing their work acted out. The first one says, "Hey, I just wanted to say I love the new episode. Super honored to be featured. Looking forward to future episodes." Then from some writers that I've used more than once, "That was so good, Giggles. Thank you for all the work you put into both stories. You made my stories really feel alive." And, "Thank you so much for doing this and all the other ones you've done too. I love all of them. I am so glad you enjoyed doing it too." And of course I enjoyed it. It's why I do it. I am glad to have so many talented writers out there to choose from and that are so responsive to it. And then one of my favorite kind of responses. "I took a hiatus from writing, but I just recently released a new short story if you're interested. I thought of you and your amazing narrations as soon as I realized people were going to like the story." I just love these because it's a big reason why I started the podcast. I came off a hiatus of writing myself, mostly because I had a difficult time seeing a point. I like that I can use this podcast to give others a reason to continue writing, or simply rejoice in having someone else see the validity in their work. Showing these is not to pat myself on the back. I'm just doing what I love with this podcast. I just wanted to show the community and creativity the show could build. After all, nightmares are a terrible thing to waste. Seriously, you won't know how good it feels to hear your stories come to life. From campy to, "Are those eyes following me? Scary. I want to hear them all because your fucked up brains came up with them." Which really brings us to one question, a question I actually haven't asked in a bit. What's your story? Turns out we all have a bit of anxiety when the lights grow dim. Send all terror tales to dimlightanxiety@gmail.com to haunt us with your nightmares. This week's author of our nightmares is still the talented writer with the Reddit username Kessel the Viking. Are you ready to find out how their daughter is doing? Or shit, even how they're doing? Well, you won't have to wait much longer. Here's a recap of what has happened so far. "She's crawling on the fucking ceiling," I shouted back. And as I did, I heard that same devious laughter from the kitchen outside our door, accompanied with the thudding sounds of what I can only assume was Evelyn crawling on the ceiling. My wife and I escaped through the window and ran barefoot to the car. I heard Evelyn scream, a low and bellowing scream from inside, followed by the word, hungry. It sounded like she was destroying the entire house. The daughter sounded so cute. Well, before this creature took over. Will they be able to find the help they need? Submitted for the approval of the guild with dim light anxiety, I call this story The Tale of the Odd Daughter, Part 3. Titled, There's Something Wrong with Our Daughter, Part 2. Many of you were kind and helpful when it came to our plight. Some of you were less so. When something happens before your eyes, you cannot explain. You don't always think rationally. I'm not trying to make excuses. I could probably have acted sooner or better. But as it stands, there really was no way to know just what was happening until the unfortunate last moments. We were recently contacted by a specialist group who deals in instances like Evelyn's. They agreed to assist us in any way possible so that we may get our daughter back. However, they made it abundantly clear that reuniting with Evelyn was not a guarantee. Still, we accepted their services. I'm not allowed to disclose the name of their organization, but exercising devastatingly destructive spirits is their idea of expertise. I wasn't sure I believed in such things until recently. But I'm glad that such people exist for folks like us. I told them everything from the first moment Evelyn was grabbed until the painful moment she climbed up onto the ceiling. The professional surmised that we were dealing with something incredibly ancient and that no amount of regular help would have worked. Along with my wife, who finally started speaking again, the team and I decided to return to our home to see what we could do about our daughter. Upon approaching the house, the experts weighed in their thoughts. The first expert, we'll call him Abel, spoke of how the home felt heavy and that the air was filled with pure evil, a type of arcane hatred that he could sense deep in his core. The second expert, dubbed Mary, spoke of how dirty she felt just being near our house. She mentioned that the energy surrounding us was extremely negative. The last expert stayed in their truck. I never actually spoke with them face to face, and they used a voice modulator over the communicator. However, they did say something about disturbing readings in the vicinity. No sound came from our home, and on the outside it appeared relatively normal. There weren't any lights on, and judging by the destructive sounds that we heard during our escape, I assumed an utter disaster awaited within. The door slowly creaked open as if its hinges had rusted in the short time we were gone. Mary and Abel were both close behind, and my wife remained outside. Immediately, I was hit with a wall of putrid smells that almost created an impassable barrier. I would describe it as rotting meat, but there was a sourness to it, something that made Mary gag. "Compose yourself, Mary," uttered Abel. Clearly, he was used to this. "Yes, of course," said Mary, quickly regaining her faculties. Abel touched my shoulder. "George, here," he said, handing me a flashlight. I turned it on to reveal the complete disarray that was now our home. The carpet had become moldy as if it had spent years underwater. Each wall, including the ceiling, had a vicious black slime covering it as if some giant snail had taken up residence here. There were even sections of the floor, walls, and furniture that had been chewed up like a hive of ravenous insects had ravaged our once goodly home. Don't lose focus, said Abel from the left of me. I did not hear his footsteps against the carpet as he made his way next to me, and his interruption of my bewilderment was startling. Fuck! Don't scare me like that, please! I said, trying to keep my quickly beating heart still. I apologize, but it's obvious that whatever this is, it must be vanquished, commented Abel with a stern face. I nodded. I know. Oh my God, Father in heaven, began Mary with quivering voice. Look, she said, pointing to the corner on the far side of the living room. I shined the light in the direction of her finger and could not believe my eyes. It was Evelyn, but not our Evelyn. The creature that so mocked our daughter's form was engorged like an ant queen feasting on something I couldn't make out. Her body had grown 3 times its size, and the only thing that was left in resemblance was her black hair and 2 childish arms. Whatever this transformation had done, it must have caused her hearing to diminish because she didn't react to us coming into the home. As we inched closer, her face began to come into view. I shined my light on her mouth and noticed a pincer-like mandible with a collar hanging from it. The name on the collar was Lucky, and it belonged to the neighbor's dog. Evelyn, or whatever this was, had devoured yet another family pet. I tried to be brave and call out to her. Every sweetheart, Daddy's here and Mommy's just outside. Her feasting had halted abruptly, and she spun in my direction. I had to stifle my shock because seeing her face to face now was completely like anything I could have ever expected. I even heard Abel gasp from the horror of it. Both of her eyes were milky white, and she had little black hairs coming from various patches on her darkened skin. She did not speak. Instead, her mouth produced chattering noises likened to a host of skittering termites. Her head tilted in different angles, like a bug, too, and it was deeply unsettling. In fact, I was trembling. The 2 experts brushed past me and confronted Evelyn. Abel commanded with righteous and fury, "You demon who grips the soul of this poor little girl, I demand thee leave at once." Evelyn's grotesque form did not react in the slightest, and Abel turned to look at me. His eyes carried an uncertainty deep within them, and that feeling transferred into my body as well. He reached into his garment and produced a metallic cross. He then wove the beaded chain it was connected to around his fingers and wrist. "I don't want to alarm you, George. I also don't want to cause grief for you, but I have never seen something so horrible in all my life. This is a truly vile entity that not only the Lord's power can dispel," said Abel as gently as possible. I nodded because I didn't know what to say, and I felt a hand on my shoulder. I turned to see my wife. She must have come in during my trance-like state upon noticing Evelyn or what remained of her. "George," she whispered solemnly. I touched my hand to hers. "Don't worry, sweetie. These people can help. I hope." Mary turned to both of us and smiled reassuringly, making my wife's mood perk up, even if it was only a little. "Abel, taking no time, began moving closer to Evelyn. Each step he made promoted her head to twitch like a vigilant pigeon, but it only made my skin crawl. I felt my wife's hand gripping my shoulder firmly. The closer Ebel got to Evie, and I shared in her trepidation. Suddenly there was a new sound, one from deeper in the house. We all turned around and stared down the hallway towards Evelyn's room. It was a throaty groan like a massive bullfrog was lying beyond her bedroom door. Evelyn turned her cumbersome body away from us and resumed her feast on Lucky, while we all tried to rationalize what the sound we were hearing was. Abel had a cross suspended next to Evelyn's chitinous thorax and loudly chanted, "Let the divine light of our Lord, our God, shine into you and smite the foul spirit that has taken residence inside your innocent soul." He chanted that over and over, but nothing seemed to be happening. Mary inquired, "Abel, why isn't it working?" And then another low croak came from down the hall, making us turn to look once more. Abel turned to look at Evelyn and then to the floor. He appeared to be deep in thought, and right before I was going to ask what the matter was, he spoke softly. "Perhaps that is because this is not the real Evelyn." "Not the real one? What do you mean by that?" I asked, completely perplexed. Abel sighed. "There have been instances where the host body cannot support such powerful and evil entities. This results in the spirit body of the host to split into two, perhaps even more, different beings that each carry within them a part of the original host. The unfortunate circumstances that we may have here before us." "What does that mean for Evelyn?" asked my wife, with tears welling up in her eyes. "It means we need to find the one that contains more of the evil entity spirit. Somewhere in this house, another Evelyn, and she may be far more horrid to confront."
"Well, what do we do with this one? What is she exactly?"
I gestured to Evelyn gnawing on the neighbor's dog in the corner.
"This is nothing more than a husk of a soul," began Abel. "Only a fraction of your daughter's spirit resides within. It has rendered this being into nothing but a bottom feeding remnant that functions on primal instincts alone. We will leave it to whatever this is." He finished by drawing the cross with his finger against his body.
Okay, well, what now? Seriously, that's where we have to stop for today. I want to know if Evelyn's going to be all right, or what Evelyn is. Like, what is this creature going to be that's even worse than that one? Oh my god, I can't imagine. Will any of their neighbors be able to own any animals again? Oh god. Well, you heard it too. Was it scary enough? Or better question, can you do better? Can you scare the laughter out of me? Now for those oh-so-exciting details. The website. Oh, the website. If you haven't checked it out yet, seriously, what's stopping you? It's full of, wait for it, surprises. Creativity and community in a one-stop shop. Wait, after all that chatter, you still don't know what the website is? My bad. It's easy. It's just the name of the podcast with the .com at the end. That's dimlightanxiety.com. This week's writing prompt is brought to us by Edgar Allan Poe. I figured he was the father of this type of genre, specifically having his horror stories displayed in pieces like the story we are in the middle of right now. So one of my favorite quotes from him is going to be this week's inspiration. I became insane with long intervals of horrible sanity. Edgar Allan Poe. Add the quote to any part of your story, then send your story to the Guild's email. Be sure to have that it was said by Edgar Allan Poe because we don't want any plagiarism. Speaking of avoiding plagiarism and supporting our fellow artists, I want to give one final shout out to our writer of this series. You can find him on Reddit under the username Kessel the Viking. Thanks for coming back this week as we continue to try to figure out how to help Sweet Evie. If you have been enjoying the stories told by yours truly, please give the podcast a 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, Google, Anchor, or any platform you use to listen to today's episode. We want more people laughing scared with us. We are officially to the ending. Dun, dun, dun. Here's a taste of what is to come in next week's nightmare. Enjoy, if you dare. I wondered where Evelyn was. I mean, the one we assumed was in this room. It appeared empty, even though my senses told me it wasn't. Shining the light around the room only yielded more emptiness, and I was beginning to feel like Abel's theory was incorrect. That was before the warm breath pressed the back of my neck. I declare this meeting of the Guild with Dim Light Anxiety closed. Until next week, take care of those strangers that have your best interests in mind. Creep it real. This podcast does not condone any physical harm on yourself or others. These are fictional stories intended only for entertainment.